If I had a title tonight, it would be Torn Between Two Places. And notice that's not where you're going to go eat tonight, whether you want to eat at Taco Bell or Mazio's. That's a different time, different story. Mazio's is closed, I believe, anyways. So it'd be Taco Bell. You guys are going to be rough tonight. But church, I don't know about you, but for me, the old song that says, heaven sounded sweeter all the time, sounding better every day. Yes, amen? I don't. The older I get, the more I see, I want to see my Jesus. The more I see loved ones go on to glory, the more I want to be with my Lord. Amen? The more I want to go to heaven. I've got more for me there now than I have behind me. Amen?
Amen.
The more wicked and upside down this world gets, the more I want to go home. This world has nothing to offer but fear, panic, sin, and chaos. And it's getting worse every day. I want to go home. Amen?
Amen.
My homeland has a crystal river, the Bible says. Streets made of pure gold. My loved ones are there, and your loved ones are there that's gone on before us. But most of all, we're going to see Jesus. And yes. Oh, how I want to see him, as the song says, the old hymn says, oh, I want to see Jesus, and I want to look upon his face.
Amen.
But we find in our text tonight that Paul was torn between two places. He said that he wanted to keep living, and he knew that if he kept living, that meant he would live for Christ, and Christ would be living in him. But he also wanted to go home, and he wanted to be with Christ. But he was saying that if he died, he would no longer be there for the people, but he would be there with Christ, and that would be better for his flesh. Verse 23, he says, but if he lives, he can produce fruitful work for the kingdom. So he's torn between two decisions. Have you ever been torn between two decisions in your life? I know you have. And here Paul is longing to go home, which would benefit himself. Yes. He knows what was waiting for him.
Yes.
He knew once he crossed the finish line, he would be with Jesus.
Right.
He knew that all his labor and all his work would be worth it. And he would see those that gone on before him. He knew that's where he wanted to be. But he also knew that if he stayed and he lived for Christ, that he could live and he could serve others and point them to Jesus.
Yes.
If he comes back and he says, for your sakes, it's better that I live for now. Church, I can't wait to see Jesus. And again, my soul says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Come quickly. But then I'm reminded of the harvest. And look at the world around us today. And it's real easy to give up on mankind. Amen?
Yeah.
Let me say that again. It's real easy to give up on man. On the human. On humans. It's real easy. Now don't act like you're all dignified tonight. Go to Walmart and take a few minutes to look around and you understand what I mean. It's real easy to give up on people. Go driving down the street in your car at the stoplight. You know what it's like in our world. And our world seems like it's turned upside down right now.
Uh-huh.
People seem so blinded, and they believe anything and everything so easily.
Yeah.
It makes you just want to say, forget them.
Right.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus, and judge them. Thank God he doesn't. Amen?
Amen.
He's long-suffering.
Yeah.
But what if we began to get hungry for the lost again?
Yeah.
I want to go home. Yes, amen. I've got more there for me right now than I had yesterday. I want to go home. I'm ready to go home. But then I think about those that are lost.
Yeah.
And I want to hunger for them.
Yeah.
As bad as I want to go home, what if I got a stirring in my soul to see those people at Walmart, those same people at Walmart that still aggravate me or I think needs judgment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or what about that CNN anchor that sits there and mocks the Lord or that Hollywood celebrity? What if they got a hold of God?
Yeah.
What if a stirring got a hold of me that I begin to pray and reach the lost? What would happen if I begin to have a desire to preach the gospel like Paul did?
Come on, brother Aaron. Good.
Paul was ready to go home, yet he knew God still had plans for him.
Yeah.
It's so easy to give up on mankind. Again, I said that. But church, now is not the time to give up on them. Now is the time to put our hand to the plow.
Yes, sir.
Now is not the time to give up.
That's right.
Right.
Now is not the time to give up. It's the time to plant seeds. It's the time to water. Now is the time to tell people about Jesus. You know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But you can fill its oats with salt, and you can make it thirsty.
Yeah.
It's time we make a world around us thirsty, church.
It should. Amen.
Now is the time to gather the harvest. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, in the New Living Translation, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up. And look around, the fields are already ripe for harvest. Church, we look around this world, and it seems since March of 2020, our world resembles a movie that comes to play. How many seen Back to the Future series? A few of you. Back to the Future 2, I'm reminded, since March of 2020, if you remember that movie, Remember that movie, Marty McFly and Doc Brown go into the future. They go into 2016. They're 1985. They go to 2016. And once they get to 2016, they go back, trying back to the present, 1985. But when they arrive there, they see that it's all chaos. It's not the world that they came from, the 1985 that they came from. It's all messed up. And at one point, Doc Brown explains to Marty that they must be in an alternate 1985. That almost sounds like where we're at right now.
Right.
Since March of 2020, things have not been normal. It's been upside down. Amen? Can you agree to that?
Yes, sir.
The last 2 years are crazy. Yes. We've seen wickedness like never before. More people divided over things than before. It's like we're in an alternate world, but we're not. We're still in the world, and as long as we're here and have breath in our lungs, church, we have to serve the King.
Yes.
We still got a job to do.
Yes, sir.
We still need to grab the harvest and bring it in. The harvest is ripe. Look all around us.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we live in a messed up world right now, but I believe we have never had the table set before us like it's been right now to bring people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? The table's set. People are messed up. People are hungry. People are looking to you and I as the Christians, as the church, what to do.
Right.
The table's set for us. The fields are white. It's time to gather.
Yes.
Church, Jesus is coming.
Yes,
time is running out.
Yes.
Do we have a thirst to serve, to see the lost come into the kingdom? Or are we just wanting to go home? Again.
Come on.
Again, a desire to be in two places. We want to go home as the church. We're ready. We're tired of all the suffering. We're tired of all the heartache. We're tired of the enemy pounding us. We're ready to go home and be with our Jesus.
Right.
But we still have work to do, church. Until Jesus comes, we still got work to do. Paul was being honest tonight in this text. He was telling you, he was just being honest. He was saying, my flesh wants to go home. I want to be home. But can you blame me? Again, I just said that, but can you blame me? Paul was a great man of God, and he suffered dearly for the gospel. So if he checked out right here and then, at this point, there would have been no condemning him for that. But he didn't. He said, he came back and he said, but it would benefit me, excuse me, you, that if I stayed and preached the gospel.
Right.
He was torn between two places, but he knew there was work to be done. Church, there's still work to be done.
Yes, there is.
There are souls to be saved. There are lost loved ones that need to be come into the ark of safety. Amen?
Yes, amen?
There are backsliders that need to come back to the house of God. Oftentimes, when you're in a bad time, and you're walking through a valley, and even though it's hard and difficult times, often during these times, that's when you see God's hand moving the most. Amen?
Amen.
You ever been in a terrible situation, a valley or a desert place, or a hard time? And it's the worst of times. But when you look back, you can see God moving, and it can be the best of times.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Charles Dickens says in his book, The Tale of Two Cities, it starts out, it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
Church 2020 and 2021 has been the worst of times for many of us.
Right.
But it's also been the best of times. Because right now, there's so many folks that are hungry. Yes, it's the worst of times. It's the worst that I've ever seen it in my 44 years. This world is messed up. I've never seen it like this. But it's also the best of times because folks' hearts are ripe and they're ready. They're hungry tonight. Are we going to feed them?
Yes, sir.
Are we too caught up with going home? And there's nothing wrong with going home. That's not my point. I'm trying to talk tonight about how Paul had two desires. He was torn between two places.
Yeah.
And church, we need to be after the lost tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We have an opportunity like never before seen throughout history. History's never seen this opportunity before. We can share our hope, church. We don't have to be scared of a virus. Yes, the virus is real.
Uh-huh.
We don't have to be scared of it, though.
No.
We know who our Lord Savior is. Amen?
Yes, amen?
We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be fearful of our government. Even though the government's trying to tell us what to do, we don't have to be fearful of that.
Right.
You'll give me just a second.
I've been putting this off. I need to take a little quick drink.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank the Lord for aqua, huh? Is that how you say it in Spanish, I think?
Yeah.
I'm just a water in English, huh? Stick to my English. I'm better at that. We don't have to fear corn. We don't have to fear a coin shortage, amen?
Yeah.
Every time you go into the store and you see those signs wanting coins, we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear we're not running out of money. We don't have to fear tomorrow, church. We wake up in the morning, we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear death, amen? Why? Because the king defeated the death, amen? Our king defeated death and his tag team partner, the grave, over 2,000 years ago. The Bible says, where is your victory, O grave? Where is your sting, O death? Amen? Hey, church, we know how the story ends. Spoiler alert, we win, amen?
Amen.
We win.
Yeah.
We get to spend eternity with Jesus. So now is the time. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 2 says this. It says, for everything there's a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Verse 2 says, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Church, I believe we're in the harvest time right now.
Yes, sir.
Our forefathers, our grandparents, our parents have gone and they planted and they've watered. And now is the time to harvest. Amen, church?
Amen.
Harvest is my favorite time of the year. I hate summer. I hate this time of year. I love fall.
Yeah.
We're in fall, spiritually, church. It's time that we grab the harvest.
Yes, sir.
What if all this crazy, messed up time, we see the greatest revival of all time?
Uh-huh.
What if all this messed up, all this world has gone to, and we're going to see the greatest revival? The world says it can't happen. God says it can and it will.
Yeah.
I believe there's a stirring, church. Why do you think Satan tried so hard to shut down churches most of 2020? Have you thought about that? Why do you think the churches were the target? You know why I think? I think he's read Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. It says, then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men, and women. Church, don't get me wrong. Like I've already said, heaven sounds more and more sweeter all the time.
Yes, sir.
But until those clouds break in the eastern sky, and Jesus steps out on one of those clouds, or he takes me home by the way of the grave, there's work to do.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of that harvest. I want to see the impossible sinner. That sinner that everybody says can't be saved, and we all know that person. I want to see him come through those doors out there and make their way to the old-fashioned altar and give their heart to the Lord. You know who that person is that everybody says they can't save him or her. They'll never make it. And then they come in. I want to see that person come in, church. I want to see revival break loose. And they begin to say the Zuzu Street. How many know what the Zuzu Street was back in 1906 in California, in Los Angeles? They'll say that was nothing compared to this revival.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? And we hear our great-grandfathers talk about a Zuzu Street. That was why we're Pentecost today.
Yeah.
But what would happen if we had an end-time revival and that was nothing? Can you imagine it? Can you see it, church?
Yes.
Can you visualize what would it look like to see the Holy Spirit poured out on all people?
Come on.
Like Paul said, I'm torn. I want to go home. But at the same time, I want to see Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 come to pass. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I want to see that.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I got the opportunity to go to youth camp. I think it was about 2014 with the kids in the youth group. And I got down to camp, and I hadn't been working overtime and hadn't been able to get much sleeping in. So when I went down to camp, it felt good to sleep in until about 7 o'clock in the morning. And the first day there, and if anybody's been to camp, especially the PCG church camps, you know those bunks are not the most comfortable. They're not the Marriott or the Embassy Hotel or anything like that. But that night, I got the best sleep I've ever had in a long time. And I had a dream. And during that dream, I was here at church, and we were having some type of revival. And I was right there. And the Holy Spirit just hit me, and man, I was just having a great time with the Holy Ghost. But then, fast forward to the next night, and we were having such a revival that we were having to bus people down here from the Silent Springs campground all the way up to church. I haven't seen that yet, but I believe it's coming, church.
Lord, let it happen.
I believe it's coming.
Amen.
Don't look at me like that. You guys dream too. I know the last time I preached. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Matthew 38 says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field.
Sir.
If ever there was a time, church, when I read that scripture just now, it's now. that we need workers. Now's the time, church. People are confused, helpless, and they're without a shepherd, just like Jesus said. He had compassion, and he said, these people are confused, and they're helpless, and they're without a shepherd. That's the world today, church.
Yeah.
That's what's outside those doors. People are confused. People don't understand what's going on. People are without a shepherd.
Yeah.
But we know the shepherd, amen?
Yes,
we are not lost. We are found. Those of us that are here tonight, we know who the shepherd is.
Yes,
and we can point others to the cross. Notice what Jesus said. Pray the Lord who is in charge of these of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to the fields, church. Folks, you and I are the workers, and the fields are ready tonight.
Yes.
And we know the shepherd. And it's time we join the few and we work the field.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's time for revival. It's time
that we see
a move of God.
Amen.
It's time
that we see
God's hand moving upon us. It's time to get one more soul saved. Amen. It's worth it. Like Paul said, I'm torn between two places.
Yeah.
And I believe what he was saying there is, if I go on to heaven, that's awesome. But if I stay back and one soul gets saved, it's worth it all. And church,
if we go
to heaven tonight, it's awesome. If the rapture takes place, we're just going to shout out of here.
But if not,
it's worth one more soul.
The longer
the Lord tarries, the more souls can come in. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible says that he's long-suffering. And thankfully that he is. Amen. Thankfully he's not quick to judge. Because if he was, I'd have been gone a long time ago. But church, he's long-suffering.
Yes,
and as he tarries his coming, we need to be about the Father's business. And working for the kingdom. It's time to get one more soul saved. It's time to work for the kingdom. I've heard all my life the Lord is coming soon. And you have too if you've been in church. No man knows the hour nor the time.
Right.
And we'd be foolish to try to say it.
Right.
But he has given us signs, church.
Yes.
He has given us his word. And he has given us signs in the word. And church, I believe we're in the closing time.
Yes, sir.
I'm no prophet, but I believe we're in... In football terms, I believe we're at the two-minute warning.
Yeah.
Maybe even under the two-minute warning. If you know football, you know what that is.
Yeah.
It means the game's almost over. Church, I believe we're almost at the midnight cry.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're in the closing ends of time. And if we're saved, we get to go home and see Jesus.
Amen.
But why not take time and take some folks with us? Will you stand with me?
Yes, sir.